Welcome to episode 11 of First Stage. That's right, it is 2021. We are back. Aaron Durbin here, along with the man, the myth, the legend, Caleb Davis.
Howdy.
What's going on, man? Doing all right?
Oh, doing fantastic. Tickled to be here.
Sweet. And our special guest, the one, the only, coming off of opening for Steve Trevino at the brand new Buddy Holly Hall in Lubbock, Texas. Also the host of the rock show on FMX.
FMX.
Please welcome Chrissy Covington. What's up, Chrissy?
What's going on, dudes?
Doing all right?
Howdy. Super stoked to be here.
All right.
Yeah. Sweet. Let's get and talk about that because I was at the show. This is like the first show that we've had like in COVID and the first thing in this new performance hall that they just came out with, which seats like what, 3,500 or something?
Yeah, a shitload.
But there was spaced out because of it. There was four total seats that were single seats. So me and three other serial killers were like sitting. I was like, in the audience. Yeah, I could hear the guy behind me who was two rows back, and I'm just like, yeah, he's laughing a little too hard and stuff.
Yeah.
Weirdos. You hear him like pulling like trash bags out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to lock eye contact. I don't want us to be friends or anything. But
I'm glad you got to come.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, it was a little scary because I was like waiting on a COVID test because my mom had it, and then and then I got it.
Miss the show.
That's right.
Who cares if I kill people?
Let's see if it's really socially distanced.
Oh, right, you're like 6 feet, bitch, for real.
But I got my results back and I was negative anyway, so it was all good. But yeah, that was really cool. That was because that was the second show. You did two shows,
yes.
Like, and each one, I think he said there was about 500 in the show I was in. I don't know if that was about the same.
The first show was like 980. The second one was not, and 980 was like, I believe that they were only at half capacity, so that was, you know, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. And then the second show, I believe was like substantially less, like half.
Yeah. Yeah, like I think they added that second show real like a couple days before.
Yeah, I think that I'm pretty sure. I mean, after the first show, I was, you know, I was like, I got this. I wasn't really ready for the second show.
It's like that relief. I don't know why, but like a lot of people, when I hear them do shows for tapings and stuff, they always say that the first show goes really well and the second show doesn't.
Yeah.
And like I was at Jen Kirkman's taping for her first Netflix special, and that was the second show. And like a guy like screamed out, I was like, "I love you!" And like she's like, "Fuck you! All right, can we start again?"
Oh,
and like,
no.
Like, and so it's just like, "Well, this isn't going off too well."
Yeah.
She may not have said that. I may have listened to it, but I know we had to stop and redo the starting of the show. But
right.
But yeah, that's crazy. But like that's the dope experience. We are excited. Like you're part of the Lubbock comedy community, and it feels good to see one of our own get out there and, you know, open for a real go-getter.
Yeah.
A real life comedian.
Yeah, real life, you know, funny guy getting paid money.
That's
awesome. I felt like a fly on the wall in the dressing room. I mean, I took JJ Howell with me, another Lubbock comedian.
Shout out JJ.
I brought JJ with me for moral support, and, you know, he just ate cookies the whole time.
Yeah.
He just stuffed his face with cookies. And I turned around at one point, he's eating an apple. I was like, where are you getting all these snacks? Like, this lady came back, and she was like, and it was nice to have him there, because people, well, who's that? Oh, it's JJ. He's very funny, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's somebody to help me feel less awkward, but he made me feel more awkward.
Just all the cookies.
He was just being himself. Yeah.
He's shoving
them in his pockets. He was like, put some cookies in your bag. I was like, no, dude.
He doesn't drink, and so I saw there was a bottle of Crown, so I could just see you probably, he's eating cookies, and you're like pouring yourself a little drink.
He did have a Crown and Coke with me, though. He was nervous, too. I think he was nervous he doesn't drink at all, and he was like, okay, I'm going to have just one. I was like, dude, you're making me more nervous, so you're about to drink? Fuck.
He's got that background fantasy of like, well, man, what if she doesn't go on? And they're like, we need another comedian. It's
not for nothing.
I guarantee you.
Steve was like, hey, if you want to give your buddy one of your 5 minutes, you totally can. And I was like, and I, you know what? I really, really did. I really wanted to give it to him. But because I had already told KAMC that I'd be doing both shows, and I had already put it online that I'd be doing both shows, and I had friends that had tickets to both, he was like, no, it's okay. He was like, I just feel honored that he told me I could if I wanted to. You know, so I was like, God, I wanted to let him do it so bad, but I couldn't. I was like, sorry, oh, man. I'm really sorry.
I love JJ, but you made the right decision.
Well, he
would have gone out there and burned that. Yeah,
he would do like a school shooting bit right out of the gates and be like,
something that would not fit the vibe. Yeah, so, but he was like, I'm not, he was like, dude, it'd be awesome, but even if you said I could, I'd tell you no because it's you and I. So he was being super cool and not all like, you know, jelly or any weirdness.
Well, that's nice.
And he got to meet Coach Beard, who came back in the dressing room with us and had Crown and Coke. And JJ loves fucking sports.
Oh, we know he loves some Crown and Coke.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, and that's what he had. And he told me I was very funny, which I don't know if he meant it or not, but that's fine. I was like, oh my God, hi. But JJ's fucking face was like, oh, like just zoned in on him. Oh my God.
We all got that fanboy picture with Coach Beard when we ran into him. You know,
yeah, like, I would have never known who he was because I don't give a fuck about sports. So I didn't know, but they actually, Steve Trevino kept giving JJ tasks. He was like, go find Coach Beard. JJ was like, yeah, okay.
Mr. Beard?
He was like, go find him. He's out there in the audience. Bring him back here. And he was like, all right. And like made it his, you know, went out and found him. It was pretty sweet. I was like, give him tasks.
Yours is
feel useful.
Your head coach is much better than mine. I had the previous head coach say something nice about my comedy, old Toby Smith.
Oh, well,
yeah.
What did he say? He would talk shit?
No, it was like a benefit for a cancer show, and he just walked up. He's like, you are a funny motherfucker. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I was like, he's the head coach.
That's awesome.
And then, like, I would have absolutely like screamed at the top of my lungs if Beard was like, you're funny. I was like, ah!
Yeah. You're right. I was like, you're the best coach, man.
You're
very funny. And shook my hand. I shook his hand, which I'm like, oh my God, I shouldn't be shaking hands. But these people, I was like, I can't not. You know, Stranger Beers, he's, you know, worth $20 million. You let me open your show. I don't have to tell some jokes. Like, you know,
you guys want to do a private show at your house?
I was not about to be like, no. I was like, yeah, I'll take your germs. That's fine. That's the honest truth. I used the sanitizer, but I did not say no to handshakes. So.
That's nice.
Of course not.
I mean, I couldn't. You wouldn't have either, would you?
Yeah, no. I'm like, this is a gamble I'm willing to take.
Brought people in.
Right.
Breathe into my mouth, Chris Beard.
Yeah.
I got COVID from Chris Beard.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll make out with him. I don't care. Yeah. Bring him over.
That was like somebody's bit. It's just like, but what if you got HIV from Beyonce? You'd be telling everybody, like, yeah, Beyonce gave me HIV.
She gave it to me good.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
I was really happy
about
it.
I'm very sick.
Well, Chrissy, this is your episode. We've got your intro song queued up.
Amazing. I fuck with that so hard.
Totally stole a little bits from Radiohead on that, but
I was about to say, I was like, that's like, reminds me of Clockwork Orange, right? It's just like,
yeah, oh,
the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like watching a YouTube thing. It's like, this is how you play the intro of that first song on Kid A. And I'm like, so I'm just like, all right, I'm like, I kind of got a little bit of that. And then I just like broke it down and like, cause like I can't play music for shit, but with GarageBand and a little bit of time and pushing stuff and moving stuff around,
you
like
you can
make anything happen.
Yeah,
you can do that. You just heard.
Yeah.
Which
so
was
get out
dope.
There, kids.
Yeah,
never say never, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun, and I feel like I've got this little micro sampler here. If I feel like I don't use it, I'm like not getting my money's worth out of it. So that last part was the Chung Lee laugh at the ha 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 like. It's the Street Fighter pocket operator. I love that thing. But so yeah, that was your first that was your intro song. We'll go ahead and get into this segment. This is a first stage. It's all about celebrating starting out. Everybody starts out somewhere. And I even started out doing my own podcast. So we've been doing this segment where I've gone and found these crappy, like weird, basically podcast I did to no one. And so I cut up about a minute of it and we listened to it. So this is Vintage Durbin.
Vintage Durbin.
Nice.
Number three.
At this point in my life, I'm too old to go to a house party that's actually fun. Now I have to go to, you know, the party that's around an event that main subject of the event's really stupid and no one should be really partying and drinking, but it's just like, oh, we've got to figure out what kind of baby this thing is, or when Cheryl and John are getting engaged or married. Oh, man, I should be in line for some good divorce parties by now. That would be a pretty good fun scene. So kick it out to the divorce party. Yeah. Yeah, let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings, where all the classy people are. Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun place to go. Look at all those guys that you hated in high school. Still talking about the glory days. Glory days. Bring me a story about a serial killer, you know, a horse trainer in the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, he's just going around, he's just killing it, feeding it to his horse. And for some reason, that's what makes the horse really good. And why would he stop? I mean, he's well known. Horses racing well, and it's eating these people and stuff. But at least you know that there's some, they're bad people. So, you know, you just got to throw a little Dexter spin on that. Yeah. Seems to be what people like, you know. It's like, as long as you're killing bad people, who cares? I mean, we really need to bring back vigilante justice.
All right, and that was Vintage Durban number 3.
Yeah, I love it.
I think in all these, at some point in time, I just get pissed off about like the movies and how no one's creative, and I was like, I've got a better idea for a movie. Do this. And
that's like, excellent. I'm like, I was like, and then what happens?
Yeah. Dexter and Seabiscuit cross?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, here, the horse is blind in one eye, but once we start feeding it humans, it doesn't fucking matter
because he's faster than everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to break into the horse whore genre. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the horse has to ride someone or he eats you. Like,
and one thing's remained the same. You've mentioned serial killers here with classic Durbin and with current state Durbin in one episode.
What's going on with
that's
you?
That's true. I mean, that's true. Netflix better push out another series real quick because I'm getting bored.
Yeah. On that note, I'll see y'all later.
So yeah, that's fun. I think I've got like 7 more of those. Like, nice. They were all done on the iPhone, I think, right when I started doing comedy, like 2013 or something. And they're all just like, you know, a lot of merch
deep
was real
thoughts.
Sad. Yeah,
deep
just
thoughts.
Like, why'd your brain don't like me? But this is starting out, and we always like to get an early open mic from somebody. So you sent us. Can you kind of explain when this was? Was this your first open mic?
That was like, the very first one.
Where was it at?
It was at Lantern Tavern, and I practiced it for like 2 weeks straight. And actually, I chickened out twice coming. I came and watched all of you guys beforehand. Like, I probably came 3 or 4 times and watched all of you before I was like, before Christian talked me into just writing one and then going and doing it. And then I chickened out twice, 2 weeks in a row. And then I finally went and did it. And it was super fun. I had a great time. I mean,
nice.
So I almost lose it at the very beginning. And then as soon as I heard somebody laugh, I was like, all right, we got this. We can do this.
Yeah, when you get that little first laugh,
you get a
you're just like,
laugh,
just like,
yeah, wow. Sometimes that's all it takes to give me
a grunt or a, oh my God. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
any of those are good. It's yeah, like, just, hey, you're listening to me.
You know? Right, some reaction. And you know, it's funny, even though I knew there was going to be a room full of people there, I did not expect anybody to laugh at all. And so I think the first time I had heard anybody laugh, I was like, oh shit, they think that was funny. That's good. Because yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Yeah. So.
That's cool. All right, let's get into it. Like, this is Christy. What was this? It says 5/15,
yes,
2019. Is that correct?
The
day. So,
yeah.
So it's almost a year ago, or no,
yeah,
2 years ago,
yeah,
I guess.
2 years ago.
So, all right, here we go. Let's listen to Christy's first ever open mic.
She's probably not.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to be here, guys. But honestly, I'm a little bit nervous. You know, I'm kind of self-conscious. I always have been. I'm not a dainty bitch. Kind of a big girl, you know? And I've never really felt like I quite fit in. And when I say that, I don't mean fit into a crowd or fit into the scene. I mean, I don't fit into these shoes. Or these pants. Or any gloves. Ever. You know, It's tough growing up with Digital. It really is. I don't take a lot of selfies, so don't take one right with me unless you're really into my chin. That's normally what shows up there. I don't take many, and I definitely don't take nudes anymore. The last nude that I sent, it ended my marriage. You know, one day I sent my ex-husband the sexiest fucking nude I have ever taken. And I waited for his response, just wet with anticipation. And he eventually replied, "Cool." Remind me to get toilet paper on the way home. But right then I knew that that ship had sailed. You know, and I don't hate him for it, you know, guys, because I was tired of wiping my ass with paper towel. my size has always given me kind of a complex. It's kind of made it difficult for me to identify what kind of man I'm really attracted to. You know, I dated small guys with really good credit and tall guys with ambition, you know? But no matter the size or the success, I have always seemed to terrify them somehow. And I know I did, because I could smell their fear. I realized recently after scaring so many men that I know what I want now. What I want is a man that scares the shit out of me. You know? And I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill loser. I'm talking about a specific kind of fucking maniac. You know? We all know him. He's tall. He's tattooed. And tequila brings out the worst of him. Additional requirements include delinquent child support payments, the ability to terrify my father, and an ex with a restraining order and a story that I choose not to believe. You know? Don't get me wrong, I don't want him to beat my ass, but it kind of turns me on knowing that he can. You know, now, if I don't fear for my life at least once a day, I'm not gonna get off. You know, don't feel sorry for me. You probably think I have really, really low standards. But everybody's got their type, you know. Some girls marry doctors, some girls marry lawyers. I disappoint my parents. You know, and I always ask myself, has he tried all of the drugs? Perfect. Does he have a problem with a few? Even better. You want to find out when it's way too late? Now that, my friends, spells engaged living. Thank you, that's all I got for you.
You know who?
Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Was it me?
Yeah.
Oh, so I can't even tell when it's me.
After that, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
You know who loves that last bit? Chrissy's current boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't there for those. I just kind of retired those jokes.
Yeah, she's over here shaking her head.
Yeah, I'm like
the last
God.
Three or four jokes, like, no.
Yeah, don't do those anymore. But, you know, I started doing them, period, or even writing them at all because I was in a really, really bad relationship with a crazy person. This person I'm describing, like, just the person that you don't want your daughter to date at all. And the only way that I could feel better about the fact that he totally fucked me over, and I knew the whole time he was garbage, but I was like, he's so hot. It's fine. He's like 6'4". It's just like, feel like a woman when I'm with him. It's fine. Like, oh,
he's
he was
tall.
In prison
he's
seven times? What the fuck? Like, you know, he looks terrifying and, like, he was awful to me. Just a terrible person. And I was like, why? All the time, like, why am I doing this? This is awful. And so I started, wrote that first set and then actually went to go and see him. He worked in an oil rig because that's where the shitty people are. And he lived in a man camp. So he had a whole lot going for him. So I went to visit him. We stayed at a hotel and I played him that because I told him, I'm gonna try. I think I might try doing stand-up. He's like, "This fucking dumb," or whatever he said. I don't know. And yeah, so he came home. So he came to the hotel, and I already knew we were gonna break up. It was the last time I ever saw him. And I played that for him. I was like, "I just went to this," and he never heard any of those jokes. And I was like, "I just went to the show the other night." And he's like, gets on the bed. And he's like, got the headphones, and he like puts a laptop on his stomach, and he's like listening. And I'm like chugging alcohol because I'm like, he's listening to me say horrible things about him. I know he's gonna know. I know he's gonna know. And I'm over just like drinking whiskey, and all of a sudden he like stops and goes, "Babe, are these fucking jokes about me? Are these jokes about me?" I was like, "Does it sound like you, motherfucker? Because if it does, you got problems. Like, you know, if you think that's you, well, fuck." Like, but yeah, that was the end of that. That was kind of my big fuck you. It was like, you know what? You really suck, but I'm going to make fun of you in front of everybody I can find.
Cha-ching. So,
and that
got him.
Yeah, and I hope you stole his drugs, too, because that would really piss him off, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, you know. Hey.
But I mean, listening to that set, though, what you can tell with that is, like, I mean, there was like a low resonance in the beginning, so it was kind of hard to make everything out. But
I was
like,
so nervous, too. I couldn't figure out where the microphone was. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Style with every person starting out. Mic control's a big deal. They either want to cup it over with their hand and stuff. It's like, this is a cool look. It's like, you can't hear anything, man.
They're talking.
Yeah, I was right up on it, like this. Yeah.
Really but annoying. But you could generally hear, you can tell when there's like a friend's laugh, a pity laugh.
Yep.
And like you had a bunch of those ones where you had the whole audience, the whole audience was laughing. It was like a collective thing. So.
Yeah. Well, I just remember I wasn't there for this. I wasn't there. And I remember getting like asking somebody like, "Hey, how'd it go?" I usually text Aaron if I'm not there, or text somebody that was there. It's like, "How'd it go?" It's like, "I went good. There's this new chick that went. She's really fucking funny." And it's like, I just remember that happening. And then when I did get to see, I was like, "Dude, you're like a natural. Like, you can tell, like, even on the stuff that you can't hear quite on there, but you can tell you have a rhythm and a spacing and a timing to all of it because you like are allowing people to laugh and then you pick it up." And that's like something that I've learned from other comedians. Like, who gives a fuck what they say? There's a rhythm to it. It's da 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 da. It's like your inflections and your. It's like it's really obvious to the drunk people time to laugh.
When it's time to laugh.
But it's like you already had that coming in. Like, that's really impressive.
Man, I didn't really
that.
Have it. I just that night I practiced a lot. I mean, I practiced 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and I read it out loud, and I did it like it was a monologue in theater class.
Yeah, well, so it was like, it was pretty crazy because you were still letting people. It's like, I don't know, it was just like you're a natural at that space and timing where a lot of people will step on laughter.
Yeah.
You seem to let it happen, and then you'd continue on where you're going. And yeah, it's pretty impressive your first mic to be able to control at least that rhythm and timing on things. That's like. That's like 50% of the battle. You can have a great joke, but don't know how to fucking tell it.
A lot of that was, a lot of that was tips from Christian, you know, and also watching you guys.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any idea what I was doing, but you guys, I felt more confident after watching you guys. Like, I watched you guys several times to where I saw some people come in and do really well, and then I saw them have bad night too, and nobody fucking bit them or beat them up or told them to get the hell out of here, you're not funny. So I was like, well, they're not going to... like burn you at the stake if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
But I tried to listen to Christian's advice with waiting, pausing and stuff, but I still was surprised at, you know, I think one thing, what did I say? I've dated small guys with good credit. I didn't think anyone's going to laugh at that.
Yeah.
I was going to graze right over it, you know, and then I had to stop and wait for them because it's such a stupid thing to say, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, and then tall guys with ambition, and they really like that that stupid line. Funny, I thought it was like the weakest thing, and I was like, no one's gonna, you know, every time I rehearse it, man, I fucking laugh at that.
Yeah,
they like that, so that was cool.
That's always a fun thing,
but
too.
I would never have gone if I hadn't seen you guys and been like, okay, you know. But even not for nothing, that night, Kimothy, it's really, I only came back because Kimothy, Jared Harper posted on the Lubbock Stand-Up Comedians Union, Chrissy Covington was, Chrissy Covington was lit that night or something. We should invite her into the union. I wasn't even on there at the time. And then Kimothy said something about it being good. So they both gassed me up and, you know, made me feel special. And it's the only reason I ever came back to do it again was because of them, so...
Yeah, and I mean, like, not to, like, say, like, this is, like...
It wasn't perfect.
No, but, like, unfortunately, just the way it is, like, girls are an anomaly when it comes to comedy. There's not that many doing it. So when you have someone come up and just do really well, you're just like, oh, she's got to come back because we need, you know, we want more people getting into it. And it seems like, it seems like it's a dude dominated, at least the open mic scene for the most part.
For sure it is. Yeah. And you guys are the fun, like you two, like when I first, I was like, you guys are the fucking, the shit. Y'all are funnier than everybody. So I was like, I just want to be their friends really bad. I was probably weird. I probably hit on you guys. Y'all are funny. Every time I meet somebody funny, I'm like, and I was single. So I was like, I want to fuck these dudes. Fucking, these guys are funny. And I think they're in charge because they're taller than everybody and stuff, you know? They are walking with a purpose here. So I really thought you guys carried in the Well, like, I mean, you guys were.
These guys got equipment.
Yeah, you were up there hosting, like doing the mic checks. I was like, these are the dudes that you talk to. These are funny dudes, you know? So I thought, I mean, and I still think you guys are the shit. So, well, I wouldn't have done it at all if I hadn't got to come and see all of you guys and feel like nothing bad was going to happen if it went poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the biggest
we've
thing.
We've all done
like,
bad, too.
Yeah, like,
oh, so, shit, yeah.
So, you know.
Well, and that's like, you know, like as you said earlier from Jared and Kimmy, that's high praise. I mean, that's
those two guys are heavy hitters. Like,
dude, oh god, and I love them. So, and Kimothy, that he came up that night, was like, "How long you been doing this a while?" I was like, "No, I didn't have done any of this at all." You know, was it all right? And asked me, I think immediately that night, if I wanted to do some shit for Father's Day, which I was gonna move to Minnesota. I moved to Minnesota not long, or went for the summer.
That first summer,
and then came back. And so, I wasn't gonna be there for it. But he asked me that first night, and I just felt so special, like, oh. They like me. They really like me. Stupid shit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, that's like Kimothy's MO. He just like goes to that Wednesday open mic. He doesn't perform and he just listens and he's like, good shit. I'm going to talk to them.
I love Kimothy.
We're gonna put you on a show. It's like, yeah. did you do the culture thing? I was like, that was when I was in the middle of getting the COVID results. So I was just like, I can't go out to this.
Yeah.
Like,
the one that was the day before
your show.
I was supposed
to
do it, but I was like, I have to stay at home and practice on my little stage in my house without anybody around for the next 24 hours because I'm so nervous about the Steve Trevino show. I haven't done any stand up in a whole year. And I couldn't say no.
Especially because as we said earlier, Chrissy is on the local radio station as the morning host with Wes Nessman on The Rock Show. And so they did the phone interview, correct?
Yes.
And then he just on the spot asked you if you wanted to.
I was
to...
like, I really couldn't say no. And Wes was looking at me like, holy fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know that he wished that we could have been like, can you hold, please? So that he could have been like, hold, wait, hey. You know, because he looked
at
me like.
Let's break this down.
He's like looking at me like raising his hands and his eyebrows like, what the fuck do I say? And I'm like, I don't fucking know that. You know, whatever. I'll do it, whatever. So I was not ready, though. So.
That's, I mean,
it is what it is. Yeah.
It came out though. Like, I mean, you did good, like high confidence. Right. I couldn't tell you were nervous or anything and stuff.
Oh, you couldn't?
For the people. Yeah.
The very beginning, I introduced myself at the second, the 10 p.m. set because I got a little fuck. After the first one went really well, I was like, and so I was not ready.
Did you mess up
your own
name?
I messed up my own fucking name. Yeah. I gave it
Chrissy Cordova.
I think I did a mixture of Kristen and Chrissy. So I was like, his name is Chrissy. And I was like, ah, fuck. I do my name every day on the radio. Every day I'm like, it's Chrissy from The Rock Show. It's Chrissy. All fucking day long. And then as soon as I get out there to say it,
That second mic swag will come get you.
Yeah. Dude, well, it's like my always thing is just like, if I have a really good show, I'm going to have a really shitty show next.
Yes.
I can never string it together.
The very second performance I did after that one, I was really, after my first one, I was like, oh, yeah, good. And the very next one was so bad.
I just love it. Not to like step on any of your bits or talk about it, but it's just funny because Chrissy had these like leggings that looked like Peter Pan and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then she was just kind of like, I'm swagging this in your face front row.
Yeah, but I did. I said, when I came, I was the first person to say camel toe on stage at Buddy Holly Hall, which is going to be mine forever.
We'll get t-shirts made up.
Yeah. Actually, somebody, that second set, somebody
camel
yelled
toe.
Out.
Just say camel toe. Yeah, first buddy, ever buddy, Buddy Holly Hall.
No, it should be like camel toe with the Buddy Holly sunglasses.
Yeah. Dude.
It's Buddy Holly glasses.
Just camel toe. Like, camel toe. I said, as soon as I came out, I messed up my name. I fix it. Somebody yelled something and I was like, what? And then I go, what was that? And she goes, don't be nervous. And I said, oh man, yeah, I've been really nervous. Not about the jokes, but about the camel toe. Cause I wore my Peter Pan pants, is what I said. And I don't know why, but everybody was like, bah! So that was good.
I was nervous on that show. Just for me? No, for being there. Oh. Because, like, I didn't go to work on Friday because I found out my mom tested positive. I'm like, I can't go to the office. Like, walked in the office and walked right out. She texted me on the way in. And I'm like, I have to leave. And so then I saw two people. No, I saw two people that I work with on the front row. And Uh-oh. They were looking back at me. And I'm like, they're going to think I'm just, like, lying about this stuff. It's like, I got the results back. We're fine.
The like, shades yeah, on. Yeah. He literally looks like a serial killer.
Well, I mean, the good
you just, like, walk up to them, pull the results out of your pocket. Like, yeah. Look. They're like, we weren't even tripping. We didn't know you were here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, like, you think about it now, it's the best time to be inconspicuous is because you have a mask on, you right. know, it's just like, unless you just got a real definable eyes up.
Dude,
like,
yeah. That's what I thought when I went to Walmart just the other day and I went in like oh, I'm garbage person, you know.
Well, you're at Walmart. So
I'm
yes.
at Walmart. So yeah. I fucking dress up for the, you know, cucumbers and shit I was about to buy. So I got it and I just had my mask on and my hair was nutso. And I was like, nobody's going to fucking see me in here. And immediately when I went inside, I just heard, "Hey, Grizzly," and I was like, "Oh, fuck!" And it was a guy.
And you forgot that you're on the radio.
Yeah, no one's gonna see you. We're on the radio; they don't fucking know what you look like. Oh, they do. Yeah, you know, whatever. But this, oh, Grizzly, and I was like, "Oh shit!" And it was a guy that had just done an article about the pizza restaurant that he was at, and he was like, "Grizzly," I was like, "How the fuck? Like, oh, I must look dumpy all the time. If you like recognize this, you."
I said that at the show waiting in line to go in. Christian saw me and he was yeah. just like, yeah, and he was just like, I can tell you in that fucking mask. And I'm like,
oh, he's like, I knew who you were. Like, yeah, I was excited he went. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he got out and went. I was stoked, man. That was cool.
Well, sweet. Let's see here. All right. So this is the fun portion of the show where we get to ask you just questions, just random stuff that we can get the people more interested in Christy. And I always like to start off with something fun. And as I know that you are now a kind of a local celebrity on the radio station. And when that happens, you get a lot of attention. And so I just want to know what's one of the creepiest things you got from some guy that was just like, oh, I saw your picture on there. Or girl, or vegetable, you know, like, I mean,
person.
Yeah. Okay, the weirdest thing that's happened. Well, I get a lot of ads, and I don't want to, you know, people adding me on Facebook. And if they have mutual friends or they're from Lubbock, I go ahead and say yes because they're fans of the show or whatever. But the weirdest thing that I did not expect, that I never even thought of doing myself, was actually calling someone's messenger account that you don't know. Oh. Like, after they add you as friends, I mean, you have the option to make the fucking call them. Okay, there's been like several men that have called me over and over and over.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Like four,
hey,
five...
Chrissy, you up?
Dude, yeah. And honestly, at this point, anybody, and it's always guys, it's not, you know, girls. Like, there have been a couple girls that have, and I won't even say their names because some of you know, that have been like really like, I want to be a friend, you know, or whatever, which is fine. But the dudes are weird. And if anybody messaged me and just says, hey, I'm just immediately, I don't respond. I just put it right in the ignore pile and I save them in my friends because they're fans of the show. I just won't talk to them. Or this just say yo or you up or you single or whatever. All of that, yeah. Immediately I don't respond. I have had a lot of Mormons lately message me. You go to church. Hey, do you go to church? Or
we're
going
to try to save you, Chrissy.
Yeah. And I'm always like, well, I'll take a screenshot.
We have a Mormon radio station that plays hard rock.
Yeah. It's real hard.
Yeah.
Church on the Rock.
Yeah.
Well, have you heard Jesus Freak? Yeah. It's pretty big in the Christian rock game. Yeah. Yeah. DC Talk, baby.
Dude, I screenshot him and sent him to Wes. And I'm like, should I fuck with him? And he's like, why? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm mean. And Wes is like, no, leave him alone. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, so no fun.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the Mormons. I want to, but if one comes to the door, I'm not going to.
I mean, they're usually good-looking white guys.
They're
in shape because they're riding bikes all the time. You know,
and they're like, "We'll clean your yard up." I'm like, "Let me get some lemonade for you, and you can do whatever yard work you want." Yeah.
Can you guys fix an air conditioner too? Because I mean, I got you here.
Yeah.
So.
Right? Yeah.
Have some sort of like
y'all like to smoke weed
percentage, like a scale almost where it's like I'm this close to becoming Mormon if you just came over and fucking did all my dishes.
Yeah, but yeah.
Be there.
The weirdest thing has been people calling my messenger.
Yeah,
I don't
even like. Yeah,
you never thought of that, and I never had either.
It's like, yeah, or it's like It's like whenever you get a FaceTime, you're like, why are you doing this? Like, right. it's like there's the level. Weirder. It's like a text is normal.
Yes.
A call is a little weird. Yeah. FaceTime is very weird.
Everybody has some friends that always do the FaceTime, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, unless but, it's like your yeah, it's nephew or friend. Something.
Yeah,
like,
some yeah, your nephew, your mom, my, yeah. whatever, somebody you know well yeah. enough to do FaceTime when you look like shite. If you call me on FaceTime over and over, it's like I've never met you. Like,
yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
That's why my mom is a pending friend request on Facebook because I don't want to deal with
that's
it.
That's so sweet.
I don't want to deal yeah. with
Wes
it.
Wes isn't friends with his mom on Facebook either.
I mean, it's just like, it's not like I don't like, it's just like, but like, so I don't want to have to explain and defend everything I do on dude, there, especially when it's a joke. Dude, there's a lot yeah. of jokes, you know, like,
dude, the worst is my parents listen to the rock show every morning and they are not like me. Okay. And so they hear me and Wes talking about God knows what.
Dumbass wiener, of the
week. Wieners. Yeah. We're talking about meth. We're talking whatever. We're sharing stupid stories about doing whippets. I don't, you know, whatever the fuck we're talking about. My parents are hearing shit for the first time. They're like, oh my God.
She knows
my mom. My mom's like, have you been partying too much on the rock show? I'm like, I had an apple and water and went to bed at 7. So no. But, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't party on a show that starts at what, like, yeah, like 5 in the morning or whatever?
Yeah, I was like, I've been working in the service industry the last 10 years.
You stay up all night.
Right.
Partying. Oh, yeah. And then you get the rock show.
And then you
show,
sleep from 11 a.m. till 5 a.m.
It's like they forget that I've been cooking in restaurants midnight. All this time. And I'm like, that's where the booze and the drugs were. Like, I already did that stuff when I was cooking.
Did you get a copy of Kitchen Confidential for him? It's like, this is what the life is right here.
Yes, that's such a great book.
It is a great book.
I read it when I was 18, and I just fell in love with Anthony Bourdain.
I did too, and I'm not even gay.
God,
so
God. I would have done terrible things to him. I'd do it to his corpse. I'm not even above it. Sorry, I just had a.
she's got a little moment.
Yeah, I might need to go
change pants or something.
He's got a dryer here.
Sorry, I'm sorry. The pants are still wet. They didn't fully dry. Still a little damp when I got in the car. I was like, I'm going to be so cold. You couldn't just put these in the dryer.
My roommate has a steamer, so, you know.
All right. My turn for a un pregunta.
No. Well, it's more Spanish than I know.
Like, what?
We interviewed a
does that mean pregnant? What's that mean?
Yeah. Only spoke Spanish.
Well, it was her first language, and everything she pronounced in Spanish, I was like, jeez, I wish
like
I could Dundee speak that.
Charlie work?
Well, she was like, even like the topo chico. It was really good.
Like our local newscaster guy, Abner Resti, whenever he gets like a Spanish name, it's just like Mike Stevens and Arturo. What's Arturo?
Dude,
like,
dude. Trevor is the worst because he lived in Mexico a little bit. My boyfriend is who I'm talking about. Yeah, if you don't know who Trevor is, he lived in Mexico a bit and he speaks a little Spanish. And now, even when we go to like Whataburger, if he hears like a hint of an accent from the person that's giving our food, he'll be like, yes, and add jalapenos. I'm like, dude, please shut. That is a white person. No, I heard it. Please. please. We'll go to the window. And
ketchup, especially now.
Yeah. He'll, just like add a couple jalapenos.
Dude,
really?
I did that.
Come on.
I did that the other week.
God damn it. You fucking white dudes.
But not at Whataburger.
Yeah, it was at Whataburger. He'll do it at Taco Bell. He has no shame. None.
I did it at an actual...
Salsa.
Salsa. The one that's on the east side. There's like a taco place over there. What's it called?
A million of them over on the east side. Well, it's
like Raspados.
Like, oh, no.
That
no.
place is the
God,
shit.
God, Raspados. No, yeah.
So good.
It's
so
another
good.
One. It's
there's
like
opening a second location now.
Balestos or I don't know.
Jalisco's?
Jalisco's.
Not Jalisco's. Oh. I'll show y'all afterwards. Okay. It's like literally right by the United, like off of Parkway.
Something delicious.
It's like by Joe's house.
Oh, okay.
Far away. Yes. Where we don't go.
Joe Cash's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't go over there.
Where Parkway. It was like, I need to get out of the car and walk with you. Yeah. I need to be like, you're
where
walking
the,
me.
You're like, I
everywhere
don't feel safe.
That we go. I can't stay in the car.
You
got to
be my token
you.
Black friend here.
Parkway is the most popular 7-Eleven at 3 in the morning. like if we got cars parked out of there. Like,
dude, I've been there. I've been to that one. I know all about that.
Okay, so my question is kind of like, you know, you had moved up to Minnesota, and you were up there pretty much like during like all of quarantine, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, so I guess like, was this like, you had mentioned like we had done like some Zoom calls and stuff through our group that we have on Facebook, and you had talked about like, yeah, I want to come back. Like, Was this like you getting the offer to do the radio? Was this like the perfect storm that got you here? Or were you already making plans to come back?
No. Well, actually, I wanted to come back, you know, because we lost our buddy, and I talked to you guys a lot on the Zoom chat because I was missing our friend, and I was quarantining all alone, and I didn't have, you know, anything going on. But then, in the midst of that, I found a place in town that it's like an artist. So there was a big theater and stuff, and they had a spot where I ordered a piano. So I ordered a new piano, and then I had that there. Then they had this big theater, and they were like, "You can come play anytime you want. It's $275 for the entire year." So I paid them, and then I had somewhere to practice. And then I found a drummer. So then I was working on music, and I was still, you know, getting the, you know, money, coronavirus money from my job or whatever. And I wasn't particularly like, as much as I wanted to come back and do comedy with you guys, I didn't really fucking want to live in Lubbock, Texas. Like,
yeah, that's a common theme in this town, you know.
Like, I had even talked to, I don't know if it was Aaron or who it was before, when I went up there, I had my plan before the pandemic started was to go every Monday to Minneapolis, which is about 2.5 hours from where I lived, and perform open mic.
Acme Comedy Club. It's a really good club, I'm told.
And they had a newcomers night on Monday nights. And so that had been my plan. And I had been working on jokes and writing jokes for that. Then the pandemic happened. And so, and I had also been, I bought a PA system and all this shit to be able to, you know, do local comedy in Bemidji. So I had been getting it ready and talking to, because they didn't have anything going on there. And it's a college town.
Bemidji doesn't have local comedy?
No, but they have a university and the place is, well, shut up. You don't know. It's so much prettier there. BSU, Bemidji State University.
Bemidji State.
Yes, and there's actually, I have a friend.
Do they have a good hockey team?
Yes.
Oh, of course they do.
Do they call it Bemidji State, or are they all a bunch of Canadians? They're like, BSU.
Yeah. Don't you know? Oh, don't you know? Out on the boat with the goats and the oats. Yeah. But BSU is a pretty good school. People come from other places to go there. And it's such a beautiful little vacation town that I could have just lived there forever. And I was kind of just hoping, you know, looking forward to some other stuff. But I had some other artistic shit going on, especially the music at the time. And it was an absolute 100% surprise that I actually moved back here. Me and Trevor had talked about going to Colorado or anything else.
I mean, that's usually the response for Lubbock. Anything else is the common response to, you're going to go to Lubbock or anywhere else?
In the time that you have known me, I started doing comedy about 3 months after moving here, and I hadn't lived here since I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
So I've only in the last, you know...
It's new to you.
Yes, so Lubbock is still different. Yeah, it's still a little bit different for me. And it's not like I had been here this whole time. I lived in Austin. I was in Pennsylvania. I lived in, you know, Minnesota. So I've been kind of all over the place. So it's not that terrible to be here. But
yes, me and Caleb are a couple townies here. We've been here for a while.
You keep reconvincing yourself that this is the best option.
That's what happens when you live in Lubbock.
Dude, if Amarillo radio, if someone in Amarillo had called me in Minnesota and be like, "Hey, why don't you come be on this radio station?" I would have been like, "That's very sweet of you."
Because that's how they talk in Amarillo.
That's hey, lady.
You don't like Oprah, do you?
What do you think about the Yellow City? You want to come on down here? Yeah, if it had been Odessa radio or anything.
If there's one thing, Odessa is way more trash than Lubbock, Texas.
The reason that I came was because I did grow up listening to FMX and to just, you know, for Wes to ask you to go do that, you don't say no.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, it's a legendary position.
You don't
position.
Say no. I was me? Like, what? You know? And so, but...
I remember burning couches outside of Easter Bash when I was 15 years old. Dude, I mean, that's some old FMX stuff.
Dude, I remember, you know, listening to 94.5 on my way to school in high school, just feeling very cool. My ringtone was staring down a barrel of a 45. Remember? Like that. God, come on. So embarrassing now. But, you know, I was not going to say no. And I left everything I had there. And I had a great job, and I would have been... I just was telling Wes just two or three days ago. I was like, man, you know, he was like, it's fucking crazy that you're in here right now. That's crazy that I even could get you on here, because I didn't have anything. I had to do all these interviews and crazy things, and I had nothing to give anybody. I was like,
right, well, you didn't have any resume.
I had nothing.
Experience.
I gave them no resume. I gave
totally
them nothing.
Green.
Completely. Yeah. I had nothing. And so he was like, it was such a long shot, you know, and look how, you know, we just got number one morning show in Lubbock. We just got number one radio station in Lubbock, blah, 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 blah. This is great.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Well, people, yeah, like you guys have good chemistry back and forth with
each
other.
We're getting better and better. It was, you know, there's been like an ebb and flow, you know what I mean? It hasn't been like a hot run and like very at the very beginning was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing at all, but now it's starting to feel better. Like we finish the show earlier every day. We have more bits in our, you know, our armory for days that we want to take off. You know, we've been getting a, you know.
Do you feel like it's kind of like stand up?
It's a whole lot like stand up. I feel like I have to write jokes, get paid to write jokes. We watch a lot of comedy, but me and him sit there for like an hour and a half and we write jokes and you know, we tell jokes. That's all we're trying to do is make people laugh in the morning and not talk about politics or like anything that we try to steer away from like super controversial shit unless it's hilarious. And then, you know, of course we're going to, you know, rag on something.
I haven't listened like consistently. I'll jump on every once in a while and listen to y'all when I'm at work. But, did y'all talk about the guy that had all the different girlfriends that was, around Amarillo or whatever?
No, you know, what's funny about that story? Somebody sent that into FMX, the day before it went viral.
Oh, yeah.
Sent it in to me. It was a friend of hers. Sent it to me and was like, hey, is this a story? And I talked to the editor that morning. I was like, dude, this story's crazy. I think I'm going to write about this. He was like, I don't know, man. I think maybe you should write about this stop sign that's over on blah, blah, blah. He was like, that looks like some dumb, gossipy crap. And then next thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that thing jumped.
Wes is like, don't ever listen to him. Do what you want to do. Wes, every time
Shout out Jason Collier.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Screw you, dude. Yeah, every time the editor walks in my room to say something, Wes is like, get out of there, Justin. Leave her alone. And I'm like, oh, come on. I don't know him. Justin, yes, help me.
I don't have tenure.
Please, anyone that wants to come in and help me, don't kick them out. Leave her. He'll Justin will be like, "Hey, Wes, what do you think?" I think whatever Chrissy says. That's what I think. I'm like, no. I don't think anything. I'm not thinking at all. I'm still asleep in my fucking bed. Let him help me, please.
You're probably still in the stage of, can I get away with this? What can I do that, like, you know, what's over the edge,
dude?
You know, like,
kind of. I mean, I've actually probably reined it in more because, you know, at the very beginning it was like, I could say fuck on the radio, you know.
He's jumping on that like cough button.
He's having to do
like
the beep. Well, he's having to like constantly edit things and add a beep to it, and it's like, he was like, okay, well you can say fuck on the radio, but maybe you could come up with another word so that I don't have to waste time going in here and adding beeps of shit. And then we'll just, you know, throw a cuss word in here every once in a while. It's funny, not a constantly, which is very hard for me.
Yeah. I could imagine, just like saying something. It's just like, well, this is not how he normally talks. So yeah. It's
right,
kind of a.
Right, right.
You need to throw
sometimes
a fuck out every once in a while.
Sometimes you need a fuck or a shit, and it does make it funny.
I remember the first time Wes had me on to like promote the Laugh Off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like clammy. Like, I was like, freaking
yeah,
out.
Because you just think of the SEC or FCC or whatever
it is.
And
I'm like thinking,
SEC.
Like, he's going to be like, and here we got Caleb Davis. And I thought that we were live. And he was like, bitch, we ain't live. We're just going to
record
this segment.
We're going to
record it. And I'll drop it in there.
Throw
and I was
it
like,
on.
He's like, calm down.
Easy
it's no
sailing.
Big. He's like, you're all good. Just get in what you need to.
Dude.
We'll get it right. And I was like,
dude,
all right. This makes
it's
me feel so much
and
better.
And sometimes me and him have to work out a bit. And we'll record the same thing. We'll drive something to the ground six times. And sometimes on the sixth time, we're like, that's hilarious. And sometimes on the sixth time, we're like, did we say the first one? Because this sucks, you know? We're like, this joke isn't funny anymore. I'm going to smoke a cigarette. You think about it. I got to take a shit. You know, whatever. Yeah. And then we reconvene and like try again or whatever. But yeah, we've been
hit it with fresh ears.
Yeah,
like,
we have so much fun
nice.
Though. Sometimes we're laughing
thanks,
till we're
Angela.
Crying. Yeah, thanks, Angela. That's
thanks.
Our.
I love
Angela.
That because,
yeah.
Like, yeah, for
thanks,
the people, there's
Angela.
This lady who had this commercial, and it's been a joke forever
yeah.
because it was like said like it was written like a letter,
right.
And at
thanks,
the end she was
Angela.
Like, it's like thanks, comma Angela,
Angela. Yeah, Angela. As if she said it, yes. And I asked Wes, I go, how come I'm saying thanks, Angela, but she's saying thanks.
Angela.
I was like, why the fuck would I say that? I'm not Angela. He was like, just say thanks, Angela, and fuck it. Just eat the salsa. It doesn't matter. Dude, the salsa is dope. If you get your taxes done there, she gives you salsa.
Oh, dude.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah. And Wes has been bringing it to me at work. He's like, you need more hot. There's one that has HH on the top. That is so Lubbock. Is that not the most Lubbock fucking thing you ever heard?
That might be a reason for me to get my taxes. Dude, like,
and our endorsement, I don't know if we're actually getting paid for that endorsement or if we're getting paid in salsa, but who the fuck cares? Because I'm eating the shit out of it. He's like, you need more hot dope salsa.
Well,
dude, it's good. I should have brought some.
It's one of my favorite things ever because like, I'll always sign up on the... on the Lavo City page. Thanks, Angela.
And you didn't know. Like,
yeah. No, I know exactly what it is.
It's a Lubbock lore thing.
I've been doing it for years.
Do you know about
years.
The salsa, though?
I never knew about the
salsa.
Yeah,
you didn't know. Dude, that's the...
Holy shit.
That's why you go. You know?
So it's like a low-key Mexican food restaurant?
She's like,
$1,000 for her to do this shit.
Yeah, it's like, hey, yeah, give us an astronomical amount of money and I'll give you some salsa I made at home.
Somebody's like, I got audited by the Fed, but I love the
but
salsa
I got the
so
salsa.
Much.
Yeah, she fucked up my taxes big time.
Dude,
but that salsa...
Dude.
The spice got me way more sweaty than the fans did.
Dude, the salsa's dope. He's always like, you need some more of that hot, or you just want hot? He's got cases of it.
That makes me laugh even more whenever I see the commercial. We're like standing there in like nondescript clothes.
Yeah.
And it's like
outside of the wackiest building.
I love how this building looks like Orlando's.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. Deep down in there.
So ghetto looking.
Deep down in there, they've got a kitchen.
I shouldn't be saying this. She's our endorsement.
I was
going
to say, do I have to cut this out now?
I'm sorry,
Angela.
Thank you, Angela.
She's great. Thanks.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.
You say thanks, Angela, but she says thanks.
Thanks, Angela. Yeah, see, I'm not going to say that because I'm not her. So to me, it's like, thanks, Angela. That's how I've been saying it because I don't know what the fuck else
There was a point in time on the page where... someone was like, who the
thanks,
fuck is Angela?
Angela.
And
you haven't lived in Lubbock.
Adam Hernandez like broke it. It was like a Wikipedia answer. It was like, Angela Hightower has been doing taxes.
Oh, my God. Wait, he made it?
No.
Oh, I thought you were saying Adam did. I love
Adam. Adam Hernandez like wrote the comment after. So it was like, who the fuck is Angela? Because I kept doing like, here's what's happening.
Wrote it like
Angela.
A Wikipedia post?
Yeah,
oh
like,
my
Angela
God.
Hightower is a tax professional
that's
here
like
in Lubbock,
Lubbock
Texas.
Lore.
Like,
she's
I
like,
love
she always buys the commercials during tax season and she's standing in front of her stupid fucking building.
It's so ugly.
And then she stands there and just goes, thanks. Angela.
But she doesn't say anything about the salsa and the commercials, and that should drive the customer.
So right now, at Angela Hightower, if you want to sponsor this podcast, we are letting people know about the salsa. So.
Yeah, the salsa's delicious.
Hey, I made some moves this last year, Angela. I'm going to think about doing my taxes with you if you can give me a preview on the salsa. I don't know if I can commit yet.
And we mean the dance. We mean the dance, not the... food item.
Oh, this is a married man over here.
So could you give us a little salsa?
Are you talking about the dance?
Well, what if I was this whole time?
She just danced.
She's just like,
Caleb, thank you for doing your taxes with me.
Yeah.
Let me put on a show
Let's
for you.
Hit
and
the
then
music.
She just turns on La Bamba or something.
Ba-ba-na-na-na-na.
That would still be worth it.
It'd still be worth it. Yeah, well, mine
that's like
maybe even
that,
more.
That part in Police Academy where they go into the wrong bar and it's like the gay bar and the guy grabs him and the music just kicks in. It's like, ba-ba-ba-na-na-na-na. And they just start dancing. The Blue Oyster, I think, is what it's called. That's awesome. Well, I'm gonna get back to comedy.
No,
we've had like this is great. I'm not editing any of this. It's all going out there.
Perfect.
But doing stand up and stuff, like, I always am curious at who's people's heroes. Who do you like? Because for me, it's like I'm like I love Bill Burr. He's like the guy I would want to be. I want to be angry and get people on my opinion side.
Yeah.
But who do you like as far as who are your heroes in comedy?
Man, I do listen to Bill Burr's podcast with my boyfriend. That's his favorite. I think that my favorites are. Man, I've been trying to watch about 2.5 hours of stand-up every day after work, and it's not because I'm, like, trying to work on work. Stand-up is good, you know?
Yeah, it's funny.
But, no, I do. Yesterday, I've been watching Pee Wee Herman from, like, 1981 lately, which I've been laughing my fucking ass off. But Bill Hicks, yesterday I spent some time with Bill Hicks.
Texas legend.
And I love Dimitri Martin. I love Zach Galifianakis. I love Maria Bamford. She's my favorite, probably my favorite female comedian. Bo Burnham. I don't know. I've been practicing a lot with my piano and I'm taking like random shit segments from the radio. And I'm saving all of them because some of them are very clever and they're very like, they're just like, here's the premise, here's the punchline, here's the premise, here's the punchline. Like, very fast like that. And
yeah.
I've got, you know, I think you were over at the house when I was kind of...
I got to hear a little about your piano comedy stuff.
I've been practicing it at home, and so I think I've been... I like to watch...
I wish I could play piano like that, because it's just so fun. It's so fun to do really the jokes, fun. Because you can just have this cool little melody that little you got going on. Like and then you're like fuck, Karen. Like a
nice thing. Yeah, and you're talking about your vagina or whatever it is. Yeah, it's very...
That sounds fun.
Yeah,
liberating.
It is fun, and we've been messing with that, so...
with my tiny vagina.
Right. Hold me close. Tiny yeah, I don't think that's how it goes. Yeah, but no, I don't know. I love seeing. I also love Louis C.K. in spite of himself. You know, I also love Amy Schumer. When Amy Schumer first got famous, I just loved her. But I do. I'm trying to. I do on the radio. There's a lot of shock value and stuff. But on stage, I think that at first I was thinking that all I could talk about was my vagina or like girl stiff or, you know, shit like that, which is not really me. And another comedian, I won't mention his name now because it pissed me off at the time, but he was like, you know, your jokes are funny, but can you get up there and talk about something that's not like your vagina? Or like a man thing, like a, you know, boyfriend thing.
Can
and
you
I was
talk
like,
about man
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, can you talk about something else funny that doesn't have to do with your body? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, that's low-hanging fruit, whatever his comment was. Like, I'm sorry I was funnier than you the other night, whatever. But I was like, yeah, I can make up some other jokes. Yeah, I can make up some other jokes. We can come up with other shit, so.
Well, I mean, in the beginning,
and
you
I
know
did.
You're going to do what
it
you
was
know.
A challenge.
And like,
well, it was a challenge because I didn't really know what lane, you know, well, you have to kind of find your lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Or your, whatever, your subject, your, you know, what draws somebody into you and what do they want to hear
style,
about.
Like
your
what's
style,
like, you know?
Yeah. I kind of just... I don't know, but you know that advice actually made me write better jokes.
Yeah, because
I thought, I try to think more about. I don't want to sit up like you know. I don't like Nikki Glaser at all. I don't
know.
I can't stand
because
her.
She's too much in that
because
realm of like talking about her vagina.
No, because
and shit.
She is attractive and she's sitting there talking about how she can't get a date and she can't get fucked.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not,
not realistic.
You know, if that was Fortune, you know, Feimster, I'd be like, haha. You know, maybe that would be more relatable, just because of how she looks, not even because of her actual comedic, you know, premise.
Yeah, she's pretty hilarious.
She fucking cracks me up. I watched her newest special the other night. I fucking love her so much, but I'm not believing anything Nikki Glaser says. When she talks, I can't.
It's kind of like Eliza Schlesinger or whatever. It's like, you're an attractive lady.
Right.
You know?
When it comes out of Amy Schumer's mouth, it's different for me because she's got, you know, the butterface and the whole fucking thing going on for her. Plus, to me, when she first, you know, started, it was kind of, it was almost prolific. You know, it was almost.
Oh, she was on fire.
Absolutely on fire. And it
was
like, oh my God.
She was like the Dane Cook of the late 2010s.
She really, really was. And it really was like, oh my God, look, you can be like slightly unattractive and still get famous for comedy. That's so cool. You know, maybe I should write some jokes.
I would say. So how do we feel about Whitney Cummings? No,
dude, nah. There's a couple I'm not really into, but Nikki, I'm not a fan of hers just because it's not believable. It's not that the jokes aren't there. They're not funny. It's that
you just don't think it's a real.
I'm looking at her.
It
she
feels
literally
very,
looks like a supermodel.
Like a,
and then she also referred to herself as Big Bird one time, which I thought was a steal from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and fucking Sweet D talking about being a Big Bird. So she's calling herself Big Bird. I'm thinking, but they've got her. She's on fire in Hollywood right now. And she's like, I could be funnier than that. You know, I don't know. I don't,
yeah.
I'm
like
not a fan
like
of
as far as like who would be the person like you open for Steve Trevino, but if somebody came into Lubbock who is like, you know, a comic, who would be like the next person you would want to open for? If they're like, hey, get to come in, like, come and open the show for me. I mean, for me, obviously, it's Bill Burr because, you know,
man,
love that guy.
I just hope that theater is nice enough to bring in some acts like that to get us some opportunity.
It's nice. I just don't like the color scheme of it.
Dude.
It's like this weird white. I'm like, this is going to get dirty and ugly real fast.
You're
you
like,
know?
They don't know
Does
us.
Does everyone know how dirty people are?
Yeah. Have you seen
a dirt
the wind?
Storm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all
dude,
white.
The day of that show, the PR Steve Trevino's PR manager messaged me or texted me and was like, "What's up with the storm, damn?" And I was like, "I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. Yes, I'm so stupid. I was so nervous.
Welcome to Lubbock, bitch."
I was so nervous and stupid. I just said, "Yeah, Lubbock blows." Oh, fuck,
our
man.
God,
Wendy
Man made it happen.
Not even funny. Yeah, Lubbock blew.
I would laugh.
Yeah, but
if I was him, he'd probably chuckle.
Yeah,
he was very nice. They were all super nice to me.
But seriously, what is this? Are we safe?
Yeah, right.
Can we land our plane in this? I don't know.
I don't know. We don't know yet.
I don't
yet.
Know who I would want to open for. I would love to. I love, like I said, Maria Bamford is one of my very, very favorites. I would love to do something for her. As far as female comedians or even musicians or anything's concerned for me, I don't lean that direction. I'm always like, I'm more, I think dudes are funnier most of the time. I think women are funny, but I don't.
Well, like dude comic. Who would you, like, which dude comic would you want to open for? I mean, you can't open for Bill Hicks because he's dead, but you know.
Dude, I really love Dimitri Martin.
Oh, okay.
I love him probably.
I can't get into Dimitri. I don't know why.
I just love him so much. Yeah.
But I don't really listen to a lot of comedy.
Dimitri Martin is Patton Oswalt.
I love Patton Oswalt too.
Like he's got that kind of nerd humor.
Dude, I love
him
too. He's another favorite.
I'd love to open for Patton just in a sense that I feel like Ricky Gervais.
Love Ricky Gervais so much too. Yeah. So I don't know.
Ricky's pretty good.
I've got a lot of favorites.
There's a lot of great ones out there.
Yeah, there's too many to choose from.
I'd love to fuck with.
I'd open for anybody that asks Kreischer. Me clearly because Burt Kreischer.
Oh, I would have to change my set opening for Burt Kreischer. I'm like, what's up, you guys ready to party? Like Segura, I think
Segura would be fun.
I think Segura could.
There's different people that you could open for with different sets, and that's like the beauty of it because you could be like, man, this set would really kill with so and so, but this one would really kill with.
I feel like if I got to open for Patton, like he would be like, you're the fucking guy that bullied me in high school. I'd be like, I know. And he's like, but god damn it, you're funny. And
god damn it if you're not funny.
And I'm like, and he'd be like fucking pissed. And I know he'd be like, son of a bitch. Yeah. How did he figure that out? Yeah. And I'd be like, I don't know.
One of my favorite things, I like to listen to Conan O'Brien's podcast. And I love the guests that he has, you know, on it. I don't know if you've ever listened to it. But the special with Zach Galifianakis is probably my very favorite one of his podcasts, and it's just Zach talking about going from, you know, open mic to open mic all over the United States, riding in a nasty ass car, walking in, maybe performing in a dress, whatever, getting booed off the stage, people hating him, and then getting up and doing it again the next day, and his entire journey, like telling him how he went from nobody to somebody, is the most incredible, hilarious fucking thing that I've ever heard. So I don't know.
That's cool.
That kind of inspired me to really just love him so much more. And I know he doesn't perform a whole lot of, you know, live stand-up anymore, but just me and Trevor earlier were talking like, fuck, I wish he
like at your house when you were doing your thing on the piano, I'm like, you reminded me of the Live at the Purple Onion kind of Zach Galifianakis. Like, you know, you play and then you go off in a thought and like
I'm waiting for it. Really, I'm really, really, really practicing it.
That's cool.
I've really been practicing it. It's been a thing.
Nice.
So I'm hoping that someday I can get the balls to just.
So we're going to need to attach a soundboard to the PA.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
yeah. We can make that work.
If I think it'll plug right in. Actually, we should know
how to do this because Rafa does all these extra media sets.
But you know what? Honestly, as it is, I think we could do it, you know, right at open mic without plugging it into anything. The volume goes pretty loud.
We could do one to one PA and then do the one on the other PA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's been fun. That's been fun. So, I think other people enjoy telling jokes with the piano too. Because Selena tried it. JJ loves it. He was looking at me with this like twinkle in his eye, like we can make some money, you know. And so that's been.
JJ's looking for the angle. He's just like, all right, we can do this.
He has been. And hey, I'm all. I'm not gonna. Hey, that's.
He
fine.
Is a salesman.
He's a salesman, and I
sells those.
Poor.
Go get a new car from JJ.
I'm very poor. Yeah, buy a car from
best
JJ,
comedian,
guys.
Best cars. Best. Nose ring?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Right. Blowjobs. Yeah. I don't know. He's got small lady hands. So
he does have tiny
hands. He does.
And he loves basketball. It just doesn't work. I'm sorry.
God, I wish you saw him cramming his pockets with cookies. God.
One cookie at a time?
Oh, there were two cookies in each package. Well, there was like four.
He couldn't grab more than one cookie.
I saw the picture. So it's like they look like the United cookies or something.
Dude, they were little United boxes.
Thumbprints?
Like United brought
like
boxes.
Like the ones with the
M&M's in them. Yeah. They brought like boxes of food for each of the performing people, and then someone came in and said those have been sitting there for 3 hours, so we're sending someone to get rid of them, sorry they're in your way. And I'm like, what? And JJ's like, I'm gonna eat everything in those boxes before they get back. And so like they left, and like 10 minutes later JJ's already like taken all the cookies out of every box and put them, he's like, put some of them in your purse. I'm like, no. And then they get back to take them, and beforehand another comedian came and was like, looking for a box. Yeah, and JJ goes, look on the bottom. I took all the cookies from the top. Yeah.
Yes. I shaved off the top, but there should be some in that back right corner.
Person to play the cookie monster? JJ.
I was like, JJ, stop pacing in the green room and taking the cookies. Like, we are just guests. Let's just be cool. Please. Cool, yeah. Chill out, bro.
Well, we're good. Like, we're, yeah, I was going to do one more each, and then we'll be done. All right.
All right. I got you. You going or me going?
No, you go. You go. Mine's pretty short. So
pretty short.
Yeah.
So I noticed earlier when you were describing like your favorite comedians, you really went old school and new school.
Yeah.
So having said that, do you feel like having that kind of open mind, like I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase this. Like, do you think that helps you as a, I mean, obviously, like, I'm kind of leading you into this question, but like, does it help you as an artist to be like, all right, I know, like, to be actually like, to be aware of the old school? Because I think that's a lot of the comedy that I listen to.
Yeah.
I don't really listen to the new school because I feel like, not really new school, but just like newer comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I just listen to albums that I really like.
Dude.
And so I'll listen to a lot of old comedy, but I feel like hearing you say, like, I'm listening to Pee Wee Herman from 1981. Yes.
Oh, my
and then
God.
You're listening to, you know,
Bill
some
Hicks and
Bill Hicks along the way.
People that
and
are
then
not
some
making
new
that.
Shit now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some comedians really kind of fuck up their, like, at least history or knowledge of it just by going, I don't like that guy.
Right, for the new stuff.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's someone kind of like me. Do you feel like having like that open mind, like, just kind of gives you just an open, like a like more of like an opportunity to make jokes, like, in a wider realm that people understand?
For sure. I think so. And there's so much good shit that came out of people's mouths that are never going to say shit again, you know, like Bill Hicks. You know, I was listening yesterday and my favorite Bill Hicks joke ever, he said, I'm just coffee covered in skin. And I fucking, I just sat there. I just love it so much. I laughed so hard. And then, you know, we just casually mentioned Pee Wee Herman, and I never thought of Pee-wee as somebody, I watched Pee-wee's Playhouse when I was a kid. I never really watched a lot of shit from the 80s, from 81. He's got an amazing, and actually from 1977, I believe, or 78, has an amazing stand-up show on YouTube that killed me. It was so funny and so perfect and so prolific and so amazing, and I thought, God, he doesn't get enough credit for being the biggest shtick comedian ever. Like,
I need to watch this.
You could. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. I didn't even know it even existed.
I will send it to you. Wes Nessman, being that I work with an old guy every day.
Yeah.
He's
so 81's like right
like,
up
hey.
His alley.
Yeah, and I was born in
81's is his prime.
Yeah, he's always like, hey, you ever seen this? And I'm like, oh, no. And he'll send it to me, and then I'll watch it, and I'm like, oh, shit, that was funny. You're right. And so I've been really getting into some old crap. But yeah, no, I don't really care. I don't keep up with a lot of, I don't, in spite of working on the number one rock station, I don't really keep up with a lot of anything, whether it's music or, you know, I don't know, I like what I like, and then when somebody shows me something cool, I like it, you know, and I tend to like some old crap and hang on to things from early 2000s, like, also Dane Cook, when he first came out, man, when he
wrong
very
move, bitch, that's what I always think of when Dane Cook, it's like, and the girl walks in the door, and I close the door, and he's like, wrong
dude.
Move, bitch.
dude, Dane Cook talking about, he was one of my very favorites, because we got the CD, and we were so excited, and we would jam it in the car on lunch break at high school, loud, like music, but it would just be Dane Cook just blaring, like, you know, the Kool-Aid Man joke, and the, you know, coming home in the middle
of
the night.
What are you doing, Kool-Aid Man? Why are you breaking my house?
Yeah, coming home in the middle of the night and like the floor is creaking, herpes, or, you know, like, you know, liar, cheater, herpes, as he's running to his like girl's room, like, it just that kind of crap, like, I don't know, it stuck with me. So yeah, I don't know, everything's great, whatever. I like comedy, I like jokes, I don't care what year they were told in or who told them or what they looked like, you know, I just like to hear them, I like to laugh.
Hell yeah. Well, my joke is about what you don't like. So this is, works out really perfectly.
Nice.
And this is more on the rock show side of it and stuff. All right. Because you work in a medium of rock and stuff. And like there's a lot of things. Like, I used to work at the college radio station in town. And it always play something that I hated. And I didn't want to do it. And I always take it off the list.
Yeah.
Because I had control. What band that's real popular, the rock thing that you just don't care for? I'll tell you mine right out of the gates is Rush. I hate
Rush too.
I hate Rush.
Oh my God, Aaron, did we
like
just become
Canadian
best
haters?
Friends?
No,
I hate
like
Geddy Lee's voice.
No, that's the
makes
problem.
Me
it's the voice.
Die.
It's the voice. I'm like,
oh
I'm
my
like,
God,
I know.
I've never met anyone that hated
I understand the technical drumming ability of the band, but Geddy Lee sounds like a sad lesbian. I hate Geddy Lee.
I can't stand him. I told that's the most unpopular opinion that I hold. The people
crucify you if you don't like Rush.
I can't believe you just said that just now. I feel so much closer to you.
I'm like anytime Tom Sawyer comes on, I have to change the station.
Oh my god. Dude, and on my way to work, and Wes knows. He knows.
So he plays it for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll hear it on the way, and I'll be like, today's going to be a great day. And then it's like, me, 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 me. And I'm like, oh, my God, please. Why? I got to turn our radio station off every time Rush plays. I can't handle it.
I did not think we would have the same band. That's hilarious.
Rush. But yeah. If you ask me, Chrissy, what band do you hate? I will only tell you Rush. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
that's the only one I can't do.
It's like you say you hate God to people sometimes. Yeah, they're just like, what the hell's wrong with you? And it's just like, do you not listen to the vocals on this?
Yeah, he sounds like crap. He also sounds like he crammed five songs that have different fucking beats all together in a like mad crazy last minute.
Yeah, those
thing.
Mathematical drummers that come after you.
Yeah, oh my God, kill me.
Well, we covered that. So Caleb, what band do you hate?
Oh, God, Aaron. I can't.
It doesn't have to be FMX.
What plays on there that you don't like? You know, we don't get a massive say in everything.
You're like Seether. No,
you know,
it's got to be something, one of those. Like, one of these, like,
I'm not into
2000,
Nickelback.
Like, jack-off bands where it's like,
Nickelback, in the new Stone Temple type.
Well, I mean, it's kitsch to hate Nickelback. Yeah. Like, even Nickelback hates Nickelback
right,
now.
I thought that Nickelback had good songs.
They're catchy. I mean, I think I had a Nickelback album in my day at one point.
They're really nice guys. Now. They're nice guys.
But they're, like, gone now. That's fine. But
yeah,
like,
we're just nice Canadians.
Well, the thing is, when you tell Wes, I don't like this band, he's like, you know how nice that guy is and how much he donated to Lubbock.
He humanizes the shit out of
it. You know how friendly he is? I could call him up right now. And you're like, okay, when you say it like that,
I'm fuck sorry. That guy.
I'm talking about the music. I don't like the music.
Yeah, actually, I hate him.
I think that's the one. It's just insert band here, like with someone like in the afternoon, because that's whenever I'm actually listening to the radio. It's like someone will go on and be like, here's the new hot. There's a new drop single from Seether or Stone Temple Pilots has done it again.
You're like, I don't
and you listen
care.
To you're like, God damn it. And
you're
I just
like wow,
push
that's
it.
The same
it's
thing.
Like, I will go, I'll go to
those,
sports
like,
radio.
Generational guys that guys they just got to like, keep playing their new
favorite?
Stuff.
What's your favorite popcorn?
Dude, I feel you, man. And you know what? Not for nothing. My whole life, I've thought, before I got on radio, I didn't know how it worked at all. And I thought that the DJs must just enjoy every song and they must just listen to them all.
Oh, no. It's all
and
corporate.
That couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, we don't sit and listen to every single. We're not like, oh, hell, I'm going to play Pink Floyd next. Let's jam it for the 1,000,000th time. We don't do that. You know, we play it, then we work on our other stuff. But, you know, there are. You know, the ratings and the fans and the people that, you know, give the feedback and the fact that it is the number one station in Lubbock, and that's not just rock station, that's the number one station, leads them to...
It's a big deal.
Leads them to be like, well, fuck, we're not going to... You know, what are we going to do to change
this? Yeah,
you got
to play
this?
What the people want, you know?
Yeah,
know,
like, you know, and
some people like it, I just don't.
Yeah. Right, well, hey, man, it's
I like
it's
how
no
y'all
spoil.
Play Offspring every once in a while. I'm like,
oh,
I like me
dude,
some Offspring.
You know, we...
I feel like y'all hit that pretty decent.
There's some things that, you know, I'm hoping that in the future we can mess with, and I have been trying just to use my presence, you know, on FMX as far as, like, the articles and stuff to elevate local music. You know, that's kind of something that back when in the early 2000s, when I was listening to FMX, there was a lot of talk about local musicians and a lot of talk about local musicians shows and a lot of, like, you know, things were brand new and super prolific, like Deftones and all kinds of crap that we're still hearing now.
Yeah.
But at the time was so...
Yeah, I remember, like,
such
yeah, like
a big
they were breaking
deal.
Some bands that weren't
such
very
a
big
deal.
Back in the day.
So I have to, like, I have to sit there and think, you know what? What
is it, Five Finger Death Punch?
Let's guys. Well, yeah, yeah.
There's
can,
the band.
They can get bent. But
they're in, like, my list of, like, 10 of them. They're like, they all kind of have this.
They all have, like,
name.
Five
I'm
or
sorry.
Six. Le- like,
well, no,
five or six words.
No,
just
thinking you're not going to offend me. I don't care at
no,
all.
No, I'm just saying, like, no, it's like, as soon as I hear it, I'm like, oh,
dude,
Wes is
going to
hate this episode.
No, he won't. No. Wes understands. He likes what he likes, too. But I think, you know, as far as being there, what can I do to make things better? What can I do to, you know, elevate other people that aren't getting enough listens? or you know views or we're not hearing enough of another part of this album.
Yeah, you want to champion stuff you'll
hear,
like, you know.
You'll hear something and be like, God, they play this song over and over, but this album has so many other songs right. on it that are good.
That happened to me at the college radio
so
station.
So how do we do that?
I think about that all the
time. Even if it's
like,
a popular
dude,
artist.
They don't even get this guy.
Right.
Yeah, there's some good deep cuts.
There's
like,
some good other songs that you don't hear, you know, and maybe that's something to look into too. You never know. So
that happened to me with the Knife at the radio station. The Knife, the Swedish band, like KTXT. We played them, and they always played Heartbeats. And I'm like, man, the Silent Shout song is better than this song. So I would just like, the radio went silent for like 5 seconds because I couldn't figure out how to do the CD player and get it to work and stuff. And like the station manager came in, he's like, "What the hell?" And I'm like, I'm just trying to play the song. But there's a like there to have the option to champion like new songs and
right.
stuff like.
Well, Renee said it, and you know she's the afternoon. You know, Wes's daughter said the best. We were at a Tejas Motors one day doing a remote job, trying to get people to come out and buy cars, and she was like, "If I played everything that I wanted to play, that was my taste on the radio, nobody would listen to it either."
If
and she's right. Like, if I paid every one of my favorite songs,
Sticker.
Have you been dressed up in that sticky suit? Who wears that sticky suit? That's... I feel like I need to ask
like to call him
Sticker.
We had a weird
another
fan.
Legend of Texas, Lubbock, Texas media.
Sticker, Tejas.
Dude, I always wish he was. I wish he was there when I was there, so I could be like, "He's up here, come on."
Sticky's here.
They don't want to come see me.
Oh, they got rid of Sticky.
The guy dressed as a cactus.
Sticky.
No, yeah, I think he's still there.
Still got his jangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a jingle that
it'll live on forever. It'll live on forever.
That's right.
We'll never forget it.
Well, we are at the end of this. The way we like to close this has nothing to do with comedy, and I think that's why I love it so much. We always get you to take a promo photo with my now slowly dwindling options as far as my vinyl collection. Because I bought a few more in there and stuff, but you chose the Go-Go's, the Beauty and the Beat.
Yeah.
So just give us a little heads up with why you chose that one. Do you like the Go-Go's?
Yeah,
do you like
sure.
It's a solid cover?
Yeah, well, both. Yeah.
Have you watched
the
Go-Go's documentary on Showtime?
Yeah, no.
It's pretty
do
legit.
Do I need to?
Yeah, they gotten some heavy drugs and shit. It's like it's
I
really
know
interesting.
Some background, but no, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. The Showtime documentary on the Go-Go's is pretty good.
When I get
like,
home.
And I didn't realize that one was it Wyman or whatever. It was like in a relationship with the dude from the Specials, and like I'm like, man, I was like, this is getting way cooler for me, like because I love the Specials.
You're
like,
this is better than I thought it was gonna be.
It's like I love the Go-Go's, but I love the Specials.
Me too.
So, like,
agreed. It was just the best one in the box. I thought. Hell,
there we go. That's what I want to hear and stuff. And soon it's gonna get to the point where somebody's gonna be like, it's all shit, I just picked something, and like
everything in here sucks.
It's just like I'm like, man, it's like we're in a pandemic, and you know, I can only buy so much vinyl as it comes along.
Times are hard. We're listening to the Go-Go's.
Yeah. Blame it on them. It's not my fault. You suck. Yeah. The box
get
has what
better
it bought.
Taste.
The box has what it has. Figure it out.
Yeah, deal with it. Well, this has been episode 11 of First Stage. Chrissy Covington. Fresh off a like solid gig. That was awesome.
Thanks, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
And thank you guys and everybody. Thanks, Angela.
Thanks. Angela.
Angela.
Oh, I did it the other way. But yeah.
Thanks, right. Angela.
Thanks. Angela.
Thank you, Angela. I want to try that fucking salsa.
I'm
going to
bring you some salsa, brother.
All right. Bring me some
you.
Of that.
If
she, right, yeah, yeah. The salsa's bomb.
If the
salsa,
you'll
salsa,
give her your business.
Angela, it's all on the salsa taste, and then we will be there for you to do our
taxes. I'm
going to
bust it out next time, man.
All right. Whoop. Diamond hands.